Good morning, golfers. Your tee time awaits. It's the Tee to Green Golf Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Got a thought on the PGA Tour? Want help with your swing? Give the show a call at 803-0550.
Tee to Green is being presented by the Western New York PGA, Woods to Wedges, Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, Golf Dojo, and by our home clubs, Pendleton Creek Golf Club and Lancaster Country Club.
Now it's time to talk golf. Here are your hosts, Brian Cozio, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Mitis.
Good morning, Western New York, and welcome to the Tee to Green radio show. It's a smoky, steamy morning out there, but it's still a great morning to play some golf. My name is Jeff Mitis. I'm a PGA professional. I'm here with Jeff Blank, part of the Tee to Green team. And today we are at the 1812 Tavern out at 5381 Abbott Road. We're going to have a little conversation about what's going on out here that involves golf. But today we got a great show for you. We're going to have the tip of the week brought to you by the West New York PGA. We'll have the PGA Tour Leaderboard, Champions Tour Report, LPGA Report, and we're going to have Pat Phillips from Woods to Wedges on later in the show. But first, before I bring in our guests, I'd like to have a little chat with Mr. Blank here. Good morning, Mr. Blank. We're also on we're on Instagram and Twitter and
YouTube.
All three. You know,
all three of the major ones. Good morning to you.
Yeah, it was a little foggy driving in this
morning. A little steamy. Yeah, I was out pretty early and I was sweating first thing in the morning.
A little different in some air conditioning this week.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah.
So we had the British Open last week, Jeff. What'd you think, man? You're a numbers guy, Jeff, and he's been putting up some pretty darn good numbers. Pretty impressive showing by our man Scottie Scheffler that week.
Yeah, whenever, you know, after the event you're compared to Tiger Woods, and if this is the next Tiger, that means you're doing something right.
Well, it feels like it happens every once in a while, but this one feels a little different, doesn't it?
It does. You know, when Jordan Spieth came and he came on the scene, he was putting ridiculously.
Right.
And he never really felt like, is that sustainable? I mean, he was making 35-foot putts on the regular and winning major championships. Scotty's not doing that. He's just hitting it hole high, every hole, 15, 10 feet. Sometimes he makes a putt, sometimes he doesn't, but he's always there. I think Rory said he's inevitable.
And part of our tip of the week, we're going to talk about data and how you can become a better player and using TrackMan and stuff. But the underlying numbers with Scotty are really solid, right?
Best ball striker since Tiger.
Is it?
I think, you know, from a numbers standpoint, strokes gained approach, whatever, proximity to the hole, you know, he is second to Tiger, I would say, in his heyday, maybe 2001, but it's very, very close, scoring average as well.
And we've seen some impressive win total. Like, he's winning 23-something percent of his, every time he tees it up, he's winning 23%. Is that right? Did I get that?
I think it was in the teens.
In the teens?
Yeah, about 16%. Tiger was around exactly that number.
I'm talking the last 18 months or 2 years.
Oh, yeah, that's a little,
He's winning a high percentage of the events he starts.
Correct, yep.
And everybody seemed to resign that, hey, once he teed it up with the lead, this is over.
Yeah. Is it a little different when his name's on the top of the leaderboard versus Tiger? He doesn't have that aura, but I think people are starting to go. I mean, you heard it. You see Scotty, you're like, well, tournament's over.
Yeah, we were watching just to watch Scotty dominate.
Yeah,
and it was fun to do.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good time to bring in our guests. We're at 1812 Tavern, and we've got from the Golf Dojo, the famous Golf Dojo, where I get to work every day, which is nice. We've got Max Grundy and Tom Coppola. Max and Tom, welcome to the radio show. Good morning to you, gentlemen.
Morning, Jeff.
Morning, Jeff. Morning, Jeff. Thanks, guys.
A lot of Jeffs.
Yeah, a lot of Jeffs here today. It's called Mutton Jeff Show, right? Yeah. How are you guys doing this morning? We're excited to be here. Can you tell everybody why we might be at a bar and a restaurant out in Hamburg on a Saturday morning?
Yes, we're out here at 1812 Tavern, as you said, at 5381 Abbott Road in Hamburg, and we're happy to announce that we have collaborated, Golf Dojo has collaborated with 1812, and we have put a bay in here up on the second floor. We're sitting right next to it. So if you're watching us on any of those platforms, you can see behind us is a bay. Max and the team are working hard to get it ready to go for September 1st. But beginning September 1st, you're going to be able to book a Golf Dojo bay here at 1812 Tavern. You can do it on our website, mygolfdojo.com, or you can do it on their website at 1812tavernhamburg.org. And I just think it's going to be a really good opportunity to take our brand and collaborate with a place like this where you can see the bar that we are sitting at and also just serve the South Towns a little bit.
Yeah, and there's been a little bit of growth with
Golf Dojo. This is a little bit more of the growth. We went from one to two, now a third location. Max, I know people have heard sometimes, but give a little history of how Golf Dojo got started and why it got started.
Sure. You know, Tom and I back in 2020 realized that we wanted to spend some more time together, and we were golfing every day during that first summer. And then, you know, we said, how can we continue to do this? And that's how we got going with our first Golf Dojo, had a great growth into the second one. And, you know, this is just kind of a natural way to get Golf Dojo and the way that we present another opportunity for golf. We're still going to be using the you know, top of the line TrackMan technology here at 1812 Tavern. All of your data that you've collected at your other locations are going to be here. You know, perhaps you want a little bit, you know, different scene in terms of what you're doing with golf. And you know, as Tom said, Golf Dojo is now, you know, in a position to collaborate with different you know, entities to find ways to get golf access to other people. So it's going really well.
Yeah, when you guys started Golf Dojo, was this kind of the vision to kind of start small one location and then branch out, or has this exceeded your expectations and your vision when you first
I think this was part of the vision. The nice thing is we found a model that works for us and for Western New York and for the expectation of golfers, the 24/7 gym style operations that we have on Niagara Falls Boulevard.
Yeah, explain that a little more. I don't know if everybody knows the model. Max, can you? Why does? How does? We're differentiated in the marketplace. That's for sure.
Yep. So definitely, you know, when we came together and brought Golf Dojo to fruition, we really wanted to make sure that people had their space and their time and their game. And so we've really made the two hub locations, our home locations, they're 24-hour access, like a 24-hour gym. You know, you book time, it's reserved for you. You can show up at any hour of the day if you're a member, because we have different membership models that we can get into a little bit. And then the doors close behind you so that you're able to have that private space, whether you're with a group that you know, you want to just be with your friends, or if you're working on something yourself and you don't really want to have, you know, the public watching the process that you're going through in terms of it. Because, you know, golf's a process for all of us.
And that's why I love working there, because it's a great place to teach and work on your game. So you can take someone in there who's a beginner, close the doors behind you. You can put on the TV. You can watch golf if you want. You can watch a hockey game if you ever want to do that again. And, you know, listen, there's a surround sound up there, a nice Bose system. And we don't sell food or beer or anything like that. So just it's walk in as you are and play golf, right? And there's how many golf courses on the track, man? Now 400.
We're over 450 courses right now.
Well over 450, yep. Yeah. So, and there's a lot of good golf courses on there, and it's fun. It's a great way to play golf, and people like the TrackMan numbers.
And to get back to Jeff's question, so a space like this, it is a great opportunity for us to take our brand and just continue to kind of evolve it. And so I envision this space up here. We're on the second floor at 1812. They have a terrific bar, patio, restaurant set up downstairs. People are talking about it here in Hamburg, and just the great food and atmosphere that it is. This is a space where, for a Christmas party, for a bachelor party, this is a space where you can rent the entire space, have the Golf Dojo experience along with everything else that comes with a place like this. And so to continue to move into these spaces and to work with groups like 1812 absolutely is part of what we're looking to expand into.
And how did that collaboration go with 1812? Because I think you've gone now from a brand that has brick and mortar to now a brand that is inside another location that you don't own. How did that come about? I mean, did you know the owners? How did the relationship with 1812 begin?
So Max and I are educators by trade, and one thing that I'm fortunate to do during the school year is I teach an entrepreneurship class. And so this is starting to feel a little bit like a kind of a case study in there. But yes, it really is about partnerships. And the idea of building a brand, building a business, building a reputation in business, it is about collaboration. So yes, the owners who we know and we've worked with on a number of different ways, we sat down and said, hey, could this fit? Could this work? And as we got through it, we saw, yeah, this is a great opportunity for both sides, and to take our brand and in this new establishment come together. And so, yes, that's exactly it.
I also think there's a thing, too, that everyone sees the potential of the movement toward playing simulator golf, indoor golf, whether it's in your home, whether it's at a facility like this, or whether it's in a facility like a traditional golf dojo. I think there's really a movement towards this. And so people want to get involved, but there's a whole bunch on the back end that can be complicated. You know, if you're an expert like these people were in running restaurants, that doesn't mean that you're going to be an expert in running a golf simulator business. Yeah. And so this is the type of partnership where, you know, Tom and I are able to come in and provide expertise, provide a build, provide, you know, the back-end support, and so that the business owners can really just reap the rewards that come from having access to a thing like this. So we really think that's a really healthy model, both for us, but also, you know, for access for the public and for potential partners out there.
Yeah, there's nothing better than a rainy day, even in the summer. We're still busy in the summer. We had a bunch of action yesterday because it was probably a little too hot for people. But to come in, just sit down, hit some shots, get your numbers, play a course, enjoy yourself, and play golf, right? It's just another way to play golf. It is, I would say, the fastest growing aspect of the golf industry right now. And the good thing about something like this is it's a great way to introduce people to the game. So people get introduced to the game in a little bit of different way. So it's their entree into the game of golf. That's why promote and stimulate golf. That's why we do stuff like we run programs for the first tee runs programs here. We run women's programs with Lady Lynx of Buffalo, junior programs, high school programs, individual programs, anything like that, that you can introduce someone to the great game of golf, then they just end up having fun.
No, absolutely. And maybe transitioning a little bit, it is the end of July, so we're probably heading towards simulator season. I don't want to jump through
it's always
some great golf
season.
It is. I'll give you that. Membership. Can you give us some more details on how individuals listening can join?
Absolutely. We have a no-commitment membership at $20 a month. What that does is it allows you to have a $15 discount on our public hours. So our public hours are $60. Our membership hours are 45 hours. We also have a membership plus with $250 a month. People who are committed to doing this as a habit, it's the most affordable way to do indoor golf in Western New York. So $250 a month includes 8 hours in that membership, and then you get the membership right after those 8 hours. All of our memberships have larger booking windows, so in the times and when we really start to get busy in the fall and into the winter, that allows you more access earlier to book. And then, of course, we have members bays at each of our locations.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is we're going to be back on the radio for your last show of the year.
September 1st?
The week before Labor Day,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
As we traditionally are, because we love our partnership with Tee to Green, another great partnership that we have. And we're going to have more news about Golf Dojo and an opportunity for more access to golf here in the Western New York area. And so we're excited for that.
Maybe an exciting little announcement that day.
It will be.
I may know a little bit about it. And we have locations on Niagara Falls Boulevard, for people that don't know, and Transit Road.
Yep.
Both right near Sheridan and right across from both malls. Really easy to find. Fun places. Come in and meet the crew one of these days.
I think Tom's made for radio. That was a teaser right there. Radio teaser.
He's a veteran public speaker. Let's put it that way.
Fair enough.
All right. Now that we've talked about Golf Dojo, tell me a little, what'd you think of the British Open?
So it was interesting. You said something that really resonated with me. So first of all, on Sundays when you tune in to watch a great player, it's really good for the game. If you're going to have a runaway, that you have somebody as compelling as Scotty, right? I'm already thinking about the U.S. Open next year and the idea of another guy who's going to play for the Grand Slam.
Shinnecock?
It is.
Yep.
And so the game is in a great place when you have somebody that has that kind of talent and is performing it the way that he does. I thought his press conferences during the week, which got a lot of publicity and started a lot of conversations around golf, were also really good for the game. You know, Scotty was a guy that you watched and thought, oh, he's kind of like everybody else in the field, and all of a sudden he is separating himself in so many different ways. So that's compelling. I'm going to tell you, we were fortunate to play golf on Saturday last week. And
We were.
It was wonderful. It was beautiful out. We watched the most of the Open before the round in the afternoon. That is such a unique week every year in golf, and I love that part of the Open Championship week.
Yeah, I love getting up 5 a.m.
Oh, absolutely.
Boop. Hey, golf's on. Hey,
you brought up a good point, because this pretty much was a runaway with Scotty on Sunday, and usually, depending on who might be in that position, you might get a ratings drop. You know, just looking at it, they were up 4.1 million viewers on Sunday. you talk about moving the needle. Nobody's been able to move the needle since Tiger. Now, I don't think Scotty's that guy, but to say that year over year, 4.1 million viewers more on a Sunday with a runaway with Scotty versus, you know, what was it, Brian Harman?
Yeah, right. Brian Harman doesn't draw viewers.
Doesn't draw the viewers.
He's so, a little
slow,
too.
So that kind of
too.
Shows you that he is a needle mover. He might not be Tiger. He's probably never going to be Tiger. He doesn't have that aura, that personality, but kind of shows you when somebody's at the top of their game, people tune in.
You know, it's interesting. I agree with you. I don't know that he can be have that aura, as you described, that Tiger had. But what he has that I think is different is that there's a part of Scottie Scheffler, especially given his press conferences and the way he addressed, you know, his life outside of golf and everything. It makes every one of us feel like, oh, I've had those feelings, or it's okay to have those feelings. As much as we love the sport, as much as we want to be engaged, we know that there's other parts of it. And that relatability is something that Tiger never had, right? Tiger was on a pedestal that we could never be, but we always, when we see Scotty talk about things like that, and when he plays, we go, oh, you know, maybe he's one of us. I don't think I could play like that, but maybe he's one of us.
The other thing, too, that has made major weeks maybe more compelling, more interesting, or just you want to watch is because of the fragmented nature of golf in the last 3 to 4 years with LIV and the PGA Tour, right? To watch everybody come together again play in the same field is pretty unique. To watch Bryson do what he's doing, I'm so excited.
To get the guys back from LIV playing with us. Yeah, playing over here.
I'm so excited to see the Ryder Cup this year, right? Like this is going to be a really interesting year where both the Americans and the European team have compelling cases. Yep, right in our great state.
That's on the track, man, by the way, if you want to tee up at Bethpage Black. Yeah.
That was the last one I played at Golf Dojo. It is a tough, even on a simulator. Holy cow.
Tee it forward. We can go back to last week's conversation on the radio, right? Yes. Tee it forward, especially if you get to places like
Bethpage Black, I'd be playing some pretty forward tees to scrape it around there. The other thing is the crowd there when you end up, you know, because you get that New York City kind of Long Island ambiance and a little bit less care for their language when they're out there, and they tend to be a little bit more boisterous. Person like Bryson DeChambeau firing up the crowd, and then there's Scotty who'll just walk out there and be like, ba-doom, 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 and just smoke everybody.
But it'll be interesting to watch Rory probably get some boos and jeers and how he and Shane Lowry react, because I'm sure they'll be playing together for some of it. Not that I'm trying to do too much of a Ryder Cup preview, because I know it's the next thing, right?
It is the next thing. Well, there's
the playoffs.
I find anticlimactic after
it
the
is.
Majors.
I think we've talked about that. It doesn't have the cachet, I guess we'll say.
Yeah, I know it's a lot of money, and it's a play down till you get to the winner, and it's always been a tough way to figure out the winners. Remember, they got rid of that where you were starting at 10 under par to some degree, right? And that was confusing to watch as a player, and I didn't like that. And, it's just money where the British Open or the Open Championship or the Masters or the U.S. Open or the PGA, those are etching your name into golf. Like, who can remember all the people that win the FedEx Cup? No one.
I can't.
You remember who wins the Masters?
Yeah.
Remember who wins the British Open?
Going back to the Ryder Cup and the fans, I think it was Xander Schauffele's father. I don't know if you read that interview that he had. He's not going to it because of the interaction. He was a little turned off by the last Ryder Cup and how that went with Rory. And he had Cantlay's caddy as well, kind of going at it. So he was turned off, and he's kind of afraid it's going to get out of hand.
It got out of hand last time a little bit.
And that was in sleepy Italy, right?
Like sleepy Italy. Hey,
where the golf scene is much different than it would be in Long Island.
But isn't that what differentiates the Ryder Cup is the passion?
Correct.
Right, because you're actually playing for your country at that point, or the United States is. They're playing for Europe, but which is a little different. But, you're playing for the United States of America. I can't imagine being more nervous on a tee shot than the first tee at a Ryder Cup.
And it translates to the fans as well. I mean, they're representing their country, basically, or their area where they live with the Europe team, I guess.
I'd want them wild.
That passion goes outside the ropes, which is different than any other tournament. I mean, you might root for Rory, you might root for Tiger, but it doesn't get to a rambunctious type of level.
I think I'd be the player on the first tee telling the crowd to scream.
Oh, absolutely. I would, too.
I would, because I'd want that noise as opposed to the silence. And then,
do we have our first plane captain in a while?
You know, I've changed really my close. Mind on that. I've changed my mind on my thoughts on that. If he's the best player, he's got to play for the country. And the captain duties, I at first was thinking, well, he can't do both. Someone else can take care of the captain's duties. He can have a meeting after the round. But if he went off first off the first tee as the Ryder Cup playing captain, that's a pretty cool thing.
You have veterans like Jim Furyk or Freddie Couples who are going to be with you. Guys of that ilk, right?
Been around the Ryder Cup 100 times.
Exactly. Yeah. And so all of a sudden Keegan's setting a lineup and then going out and playing. But it'll be interesting to see, and it's a great year when we have something to look forward to for golf into September.
Yeah, and we've done this before. Keegan is 10th right now in the Ryder Cup standings.
Oh,
I like talking about the individuals that are outside of the automatic qualifiers, which is the top six. So you got Justin Thomas. I think, yes.
Yes.
Colin Morikawa.
Probably.
Yes.
Ben, he's been shaky.
He actually has.
Yeah.
He has not been good this year.
Yeah.
Ben Griffin, 9th.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't seen much from him lately.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So then you have Keegan, 10th. Maverick McNealy. I like Maverick from a putting standpoint, but...
I like guys that make putts, yeah.
Brian Harman, 12th.
Oh, slow up play.
Yeah. Not long either, off the
no.
Hey, well, that page. He's
good player.
Good player.
Obviously.
Andrew Novak, 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Cantlay. Yeah. I want to see a change. I don't want, well, that's just me.
Yeah, okay. I agree.
Sam Burns, 15th. I'd like to see Sam out there.
I'd like to
good
see
putter
Sam
as well,
Burns
long
too.
Up the tee.
Hey, it's going to be interesting.
Hey, a question I get all the time, Max, is how did the name Dojo come up? People ask me that all the time. Where did you get the name Dojo?
It was all Tom. You know, he, mm-hmm. The background is that I, you know, for a long time in my life, did a martial art called Judo. And then, you know, we were talking about different names that our business could be. You know, we had the idea. We just didn't know what we wanted to call it yet.
And we knew that we wanted it to be a studio space, a gym space, which is really not the word. It is studio space.
But yeah. Dojo means something a little different.
Yeah, so if you translate dojo kind of directly, it means the way or the place of the way. Mm-hmm. So it's a practice space more than anything else. But, you know, Tom called me right out of the blue one morning and just goes, hey, I don't know if this would be you know cultural appropriation or appropriate, but can we call it Golf Dojo? And I just it was like a it just settled on me instantly. I was like yes, because it both describes what our place is, and then the other thing that's interesting is that even if you don't know what a dojo is, Golf Dojo has a really great ring to it, right? And we wanted to make sure that we had kind of a global or universal access and name to. Use.
And it did affect the design, I would say, right? And that's why the place is so unique, right? As far as its design on the interior goes.
Yeah. You know, we definitely borrowed some ideas from some traditional dojos, but we also borrowed some ideas from some traditional golf things as well, right? And we wanted to make sure that it was a space that was both unique but familiar.
We are not a technology company, right? TrackMan is the technology company. They're the best technology in indoor golf. They're the best technology in just the radar systems in golf, so indoor and outdoor. We are a space, right? And that is something that is really Max's genius. He is able to design the space. He looks at it, designs it, and you have a comfortable space when you walk into any of our locations and you say, oh, okay, this is a space that I feel comfortable in, I can play in. It feels private, but also it feels like you're part of a community. The same thing's going to be true here at 1812. This space that's nearly done is going to be a great space that has the Golf Dojo aesthetic, but also is prepared for a different kind of communal aspect of golf. So you want to come here with your buddies, you want to have a party, this is going to be a great space for that.
And one last time, in case people listening for the first time or join the show a little bit late, so if people want more information on Golf Dojo, Max, what's the best thing? Give a one more little brief synopsis of the location and the business, and if you're interested, how to get inside and come experience the Golf Dojo.
Yep. So always the best way to get a hold of us is you can go to any of our socials that are at My Golf Dojo, but our website has all the information you need, mygolfdojo.com. And like we said, we've got locations on Niagara Falls Boulevard, location on Transit. Right from our webpage, you know, when we go live here at 1812 Tavern, you'll be able to book the simulator space here directly from our webpage as well. So once again, mygolfdojo.com is going to get you all that information you need. And one thing that, you know, when we're talking about different memberships that are available at our home hub locations, that's going to give you a discount here at 1812 Tavern as well. So, you know, your membership
is a member Golf everywhere. Every Golf Dojo.
You know, anything that has our branding on it, your membership will be accepted at.
That's awesome.
And there's going to be an exciting announcement coming up a few weeks here on Tee to Green, the last show of the year before football season starts, and we start to get indoors a little bit more and start thinking about
That's
golf.
That's right, so stay tuned Fantastic. Every Saturday morning.
Yes. Yep.
To quote my least favorite New York Jet, can't wait.
Oh, there you go, Bart Scott.
It's going to be fun. Yeah. All right, when we come back from the break, we're going to have the PGA Tip of the Week, and we're going to talk about how you can use data and numbers and some of the things that TrackMan provide to make yourself a better player.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA, Woods to Wedges, Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, Golf Dojo, and by our home clubs, Pendleton Creek Golf Club and Lancaster Country Club. Stay tuned. More Tee to Green coming up.
Golf Dojo is Western New York's premier indoor golf experience. At Golf Dojo, you have access to fully enclosed suites powered by TrackMan. With two facilities conveniently located at 7350 Transit Road, Suite 3, and 1154 Niagara Falls Boulevard, we have created a comfortable and focused environment for any golfer to practice, play, and learn. Golf Dojo is open 7 days a week to the public and has a membership level that fits your game. Starting at $20 a month, all memberships include 24-hour access, club storage, discounted bay hours, and two locations with one membership. Golf Dojo is your space, your time, and your game. Book now and purchase memberships at mygolfdojo.com.
Golfers in Buffalo love to show their pride for their city and the game they love. Well, we love Buffalo and we love golf, and there's no better way to show that pride than with gear from Golf Buffalo. Designs and color schemes with an emphasis on Buffalo and Buffalo companies in the golf industry. Golf Buffalo belongs in your bag, perfect for gifts and your closet. Order today at golf-buffalo.com. That's golf-buffalo.com.
Custom Turf is Western New York's leading artificial turf provider. From indoor and outdoor putting greens to dog turf or playground and gym applications, Custom Turf can create beautiful, functional, and lasting spaces for you and your family to enjoy for years. We also install golf simulator systems so you can play and practice year-round on stunning reproductions of the world's best courses. With our 25-plus years of experience, if you can dream it, we can build it. For more information, call them at 716-945-0283 and check out their work at CustomTurf.com.
For 100 years, Lancaster Country Club has been about great golf, good times, and a welcoming community. Our championship course is among the best in Western New York, meticulously maintained, challenging for all skill levels, and ready for your next round. But golf is just the beginning. Whether it's a wedding, anniversary, or corporate event, our newly renovated clubhouse and banquet spaces set the stage for unforgettable moments. Membership opportunities are available. Be part of history at Lancaster Country Club. Visit lccny.com to learn more and schedule a tour today.
Hey, young golfers and parents in Western New York, are you ready to compete, improve your game, and have a blast on the course? The Western New York PGA Junior Tour is your gateway to elite junior golf in the region. Why join the Western New York PGA Junior Tour? Compete in professionally run tournaments at top courses, improve your skills with PGA professional guidance, connect with other junior golfers in a fun, competitive environment, develop values like integrity, perseverance, and sportsmanship. Whether you're just starting out or looking to take your game to the next level, our tour offers divisions for all skill levels and ages. This is your chance to shine. Spots are filling fast. Don't miss out. Register today at WNYPGA.com and get ready to tee it up with the best juniors in Western New York. The road to greatness starts here. Sign up now.
Scorey Lawley is proud to support Tee to Green and the Western New York golf community. For over 50 years, we've been trusted to help families achieve financial independence. Visit ScoreyLawley.com or call 716-674-6700 to learn more. Securities offered through Cattery Grant & Company, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Scorey Wealth Advisor Group, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Scorey Wealth Advisor Group, LLC, Scorey Lawley Group, LLC, and Cattery Grant & Company, Inc. are separate entities.
Listen up, golfers. It's time for our Tip of the Week, brought to you by the Western New York PGA. The Western New York PGA has one goal, promoting and growing the game of golf today, tomorrow, and beyond.
Welcome back. We're at the 1812 Tavern here in Abbott Road, 5381 Abbott Road. We're going to be opening a new dojo location here.
That's what I love about the name, too.
Yeah, the name is cool. Yeah, I didn't like it at first. I'm not going to lie, but now I really do.
Love it.
But one of the cool things that we wanted to talk about this week is how can you use data to make yourself a better player? So as a PGA professional, I teach a lot, and the data has been interesting. In 2002, 2003, TrackMan came out. Before that, there were we taught a lot of system golf. You know, there was the stack and tilt, and there was the Jimmy Ballard method, and then we're listening to Jim Flick and Jim, all these different things. And once we started getting actual club face and ball data that was accurate and reliable, it changed how we teach the game. So now when we teach someone a lesson, that's what's beautiful about where we are and at the dojo. We go into a private bay, close the doors, get someone in there, and you can get reliable feedback. It's not the be-all, end-all. So when you're hitting a shot, you can see what your numbers are. You can see how far the ball carried. You can see how much spin was on the ball. You can see how far it went left or right or how it launched or whatever you might be working on. Low point distance is something we use a lot. Where is your club bottoming out in the golf swing? So when you're practicing at a facility like Golf Dojo or a TrackMan, you can use those numbers to make yourself better. It's accurate, reliable feedback. So oftentimes I'll give a lesson. I'm going to come in. We'll put the person on video. We'll take a look at their swing. We'll see what's going on in their swing and how to affect corrections. And then we'll use that data to confirm that we're doing the things we need to be. Now, Jeff, you're a tiny bit of a data guy.
A tiny bit.
Yeah. So as you use the data, you're going into the dojo, what are you using the data for? What do you look for as a data,
nut. If you're serious about the game, which most people listen to the show probably are if you're going to the dojo, you need to have a goal, I think, heading into it. What is your goal? There's two things I look at. One is, are you trying to fix something? Are you trying to improve something? If you're trying to do that, then you're looking at a specific subset of the data. I would say there's key core metrics, six of them, that you would focus on. The top two would be face angle and club path, right? If you're missing to the right, you're missing to the left, you're struggling, you want to understand. Now, you're going to want to define that face angle, so that's how open and closed is your club face at impact, right?
Okay.
Then your club path, how out to in the out are you? And that's measured in degrees, basically.
Right.
And you were going to say something?
I was going to say I use the metric face to path versus face angle because the face to path is how it correlates to the path the club's traveling on. So because you can have your blade open at impact and you're swinging out, and it's how it relates to club path is how the ball curves. There's a misnomer out there where I get a lot of people come in, well, I was taught to swing in to out and close the blade to hit a hook. Well, go watch the best players in the world, right? As soon as they hit that ball, that club's going left. They're not swinging in out. No one swings out to 1 to 2 o'clock.
Correct.
Because all that does is get you under the plane. It does a bunch of stuff to mess up your golf swing. So if your face is close to the path, you're hitting a hook. If your face is open to the path, you're hitting a face.
So when you're teaching somebody, face to path is your primary?
It's one of the primaries.
You're looking at to try to understand where the misses are and be able to diagnose from there.
Yeah, and it's usually, if you do something in your backswing, it affects impact.
Sure.
So if A on the backswing, it affects impact B, and we try to affect face to path. Like you said, it has to relate to the path, though. If I'm swinging left, my club's with a negative number in a TrackMan, swinging left, my blade needs to be open. So it has to have a positive number.
Right.
You want those to be similar, right, or close to each other. You started, I didn't interrupt.
You started two,
and then what were the other?
Well, the key part, too, is, I'm left-handed, so it's actually the opposite for me.
Right.
So the negative becomes the positive if you're swinging out to
correct.
In and out. So you got to remember that if you're left-handed.
If you look at the screen with all the data, there's a dash on the left. That's the angle that it means. Yeah.
That's
negative.
Correct.
Yes.
The next, I would say secondary metrics, the next three, and this is supported by TrackMan as well, impact location.
Okay,
where on the face are you striking the ball, which is going to relate to your smash factor in some way.
Do you think smash factor is a?
I like it. To me, it's an efficiency metric.
With a driver?
With a driver. Once you get out of the driver, I think it's less meaningful.
So smash factor is basically a correlation between club head speed and
ball speed.
So in concept, if you have 100 miles of club head speed, the maximum ball speed you could get would be 150 miles an hour, and that would be a smash factor of 1.5.
That's the holy grail of smash factor for drivers.
But what affects that is attack angle, centeredness of contact, right? Those things affect your smash factor.
It doesn't allow you to diagnose. You have to go find what is causing that. And impact location could be one of those things. The next one is attack angle, like you just said. Coming with a driver, you kind of want to be hitting up on the ball. With an iron, you want to be hitting down on the ball. So you should be able to see that on the track, man.
Right.
And then the next one, which is a sneaky metric to me, is low point. Okay. You had mentioned that heading into this segment. Are you hitting the ball, or are you hitting the ground before the ball? Are you hitting the ground after the ball? If you got an iron shot, you want to hit after the ball.
Right.
With a driver, you want to bottom out before you want to hit the ground, but you want to bottom out so you're coming up on the ball at impact.
Right, and then there because this has been around, there's all the PGA tours, there's averages for all those things.
Yep.
But averages are not necessarily the be-all, end-all.
I agree with that, yeah.
Yeah, because there's outliers everywhere. And most of your tour players, a lot of them actually hit down slightly on the driver, like 1 degree. But most players that were walking in to our place, you want to be hitting with a positive attack angle.
Yep.
And because when you hit down on it, it puts too much spin on the ball.
Yep.
The ball spins, gets going. Most people that hit down on the driver, they spin it, they hit it low, and it peels up into the air and floats right. And that's, you know, a visual without a track, man, you can tell if you're hitting down on the ball because the ball will have a ton of spin. Max, oh, Tom, sorry.
And if you take this conversation out to 30,000 feet.
Yeah, sorry.
No, I think it's really good, right? But just for the average golfer, which I'm squarely in the middle, right? If you take it out to 30,000 feet, this is why when you come into any facility that has a trackman, especially Golf Dojo, you want to make sure that you're working with somebody that really understands the data.
Right.
And really understands, because it can be overwhelming when you get there. But if you take a lesson with Jeff, or even you just come in, you have an hour, and Jeff is there with you, all of a sudden you understand, okay, these are the three things that I'm looking to do when I'm here. And to bring it back to Jeff Blank's point, right, then you come in with a purpose and a goal, and you can practice. You don't get overwhelmed by the data, but you find those three things that I want to make sure this is where I want to improve.
And your feel can lie to you. So you're trying to change your swing. You feel like you're making a change. You feel like you're doing it right. And then you get in there and you see, I haven't changed a thing yet.
I think they say real and feel, right? Even the pros get that wrong. They think they're doing something they're really not.
Yeah.
So even the best in the world have struggled with real and feel. The other part I'll add, not to transition a little bit, but the second area, if you're heading into Golf Dojo, for me personally, is your yardages, right? So you can try to diagnose, and that's going to be those metrics that we talk about. Then it's, okay, just refining your bag. So for me, again, if you're a skilled player, even if you're not a skilled player, knowing your carry distances are extremely important, especially when you're trying to carry bunkers, you're trying to carry water hazards or whatnot. I try to see, okay, what are my carry distances? And this is average. You don't want to take your extreme, right?
I don't even take average.
What do you take?
I take median.
Median, okay.
Yes, because you're going to hit stinkers and you're going to, so that'll mess up your average.
I like that. Median,
You take the median. So you hit 10 balls with your 7 iron and you find the median, and that's going to be pretty close to your stock carry yardage.
Right.
Now, it's good to do that indoors where it's a controlled environment and you're getting accurate, reliable feedback. And then when you go to the golf course, that number is just a baseline.
Yep.
So that's where people get stuck a lot is they say, well, I hit my
And tell everybody why carry distance is more important than total distance on a simulator.
Oh, because you need to know how far you're carrying the golf ball. Yeah.
Yeah. That, and the total assumes a rollout, right? You can't.
I look at the total with the driver.
Okay.
Okay. Because there's the downrange angle with the driver, too.
Yeah.
So if you get the proper downrange angle, which is about 30 degrees, you tend to get a lot more roll.
Yep.
So that's part of the thing you can. That's one of the voluminous amounts of data that the TrackMan provides. And you can really get into the weeds with this.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't want to.
You don't
want to
go crazy with
it. You don't want to go crazy and say, I got to get this number perfect. And it's never perfect. You know what? You watch all the tour players before a round, they got a TrackMan out there. They're checking their numbers or whatever. And even like I've had access to it at the PGA Championship behind them. They're not dead consistent the same. But they're within parameters.
Yeah.
So they're going to be within certain parameters. And just understanding some of that makes you a better player. Yardage is an easy one to get to come in and get squared away. And then use that as a baseline.
And not only just your full stock yardages, but three-quarter shots. Mm-hmm. I like to look at, okay, what if I want to really power it and hit a draw, what do I hit it? What do I hit a fade? You can really narrow in your gaps, and it allows you to make good club decisions when you're on the course.
You know what's so interesting is that For my whole life, I would have a 50-yard shot, and I'd say, "Oh, it's just feel. It's just feel." Now, all of a sudden, because you're doing that inside and you're getting a real understanding of the number, it's more than feel, right? I will scope a 50-yard shot to make sure it's 50 and not 62, right?
Yeah.
Just make sure that I'm right at it. And so that's what has happened. When you're inside and you get your numbers and you really understand how this works, stay at 30,000 feet. Let the experts help you with narrowing your focus, but it really can be effective for you.
And that's where we're getting back to having positive, productive, constructive practice and play, as opposed to just getting up and swatting some shots and just thinking you're doing something. One of my favorite things to do is the TrackMan Combine. So it'll have you hit 10-yard increments up to your driver and then 10-yard increments on the odd numbers down. And it takes all the data from all the people that have ever done this and put your handicap in, and it gives you a number where you fall in line with those. So if you're in the 80th percentile or 40th percentile, and it gives you accurate, reliable, I use that word a lot, Nate.
Yeah.
It gives you empirical data so you know where you have to improve your game. And yardage, knowing your yardages on the wedges is great,
mm-hmm.
because if you can translate a 50-yard feel onto the golf course, right? I'm 50 yards. I hit 250-yard wedges. I know how to do this.
Right.
And it gives you confidence. And,
that's exactly right.
Yeah, exactly yeah. right.
Do you ever caution anybody of chasing perfection? Like 0-0 face angle, club pad. Like if you chase that paralysis by analysis and you start to bring it to the course, that could be a detriment. Do you try to have them leverage, hey, if you're a guy that hits a draw, play the draw. Just make sure the fundamentals are right. You're making good impact, you know, club face location. You know, are you trying to get people to a 0-0 idealistic state? I agree with that.
0-0 I don't deem to be idealistic
no,
in any way, shape, or form. You either want to hit a fade or a draw. And chasing perfection in golf is not a game of perfect, as Dr.
Yep.
Bob Rotella, right? And when you have a 0-0 or you're trying to get to zero face angle, zero target, what happens is your misses are always moving away from your target then.
Yeah.
So if you're hitting a fade, I pull it a little, it's working back towards my target. I hit a push, I push it, or a draw. And the really high end, if you really want to get really good at controlling your ball, then we try not to cross the line, we call it.
Yep.
So this is my target line and down the middle of the fairway. I don't want my fade to cross that center line
yep.
because then it's working away from my target. The more it stays left, it's always working closer to my target, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and this is going to transition to a good thing. But we had Anthony DeLisante on last year, and he was saying basically the same thing. I always want to play a type of shot because if you think of a fairway that's 20 yards right and you're aiming left, you have a full 20 yards in order to miss, let's say, on a larger fade. If you're hitting it straight, you only have 10 on one side and 10 on the other, and you don't know which way it's going to go if your swing path is a little bit off.
Exactly.
So it was a great piece of feedback that he provided as well.
Yeah, he made the cut this weekend.
I wanted to, that was the transition.
Yeah.
So he made the cut on the Korn Ferry Tour event this week.
The A on the score sheet there for
that's
the
right.
amateur, and he's heading off to the U.S. Amateur shortly up in up in San Francisco at the Olympic Club. And we're excited to see him.
And none of this is new. Right, we listened to Jack Nicklaus in the 1960s and 70s talk about missing on one side,
right.
making sure, right?
And if you go back to the 86 Masters, I remember an interview with Mr. Nicklaus afterwards, and he said he crossed his target line twice that week.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean he didn't finish right of the pin. It's where was his target for that hole. So things like that, and this is how, like in golf, you're always kind of nipping. I mean, you want to get your core concepts and your swings down, right? Your fundamentals, but then you want to, around the edges is where you make the difference. Look at the Bills; they're in camp this week. What are they doing? They're working on the finer points of their game, the footwork, all those different things. That's why indoor golf and things like TrackMan have grown so much. It's the fastest growing part of the industry right now. And
there's no way to talk about the Bills without talking about golf.
No.
It's their favorite thing, right? You listen to Josh talk about golf. You listen to Khalil Shakir. We're just hearing this about
Brandon
Bosa loving it.
They're all members at the clubs.
A couple of them
are at Oak Hill, I know, as a matter of fact.
Which is terrific. It's terrific for Western New York golf.
Yeah. And all right, so next we have a very special guest from Woods to Wedges. We have a PGA professional, Mr. Pat Phillips. Pat, welcome to the show this morning. How are you?
How you doing, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Great to have you, Pat. How's it going today? You got a busy day there at Woods to Wedges?
Well, actually, this week I'm on vacation, so.
What? Middle of the summer?
I know.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Hey, we were just talking about getting your data on using a TrackMan, and so can you help us? How will data help your club fitting?
Well, the data is very important for club fitting. I mean, you're really looking at launch and spin conditions, especially for the driver. You know, those are things that you're really trying to control, and I mean that's the best way to be optimized if you get you know, high launch, low spin with the driver, for instance, you know.
So what's a low spin number? So someone's working with a TrackMan, and they're trying to hit a high launch, low spin. What's a high launch? What's a low spin number?
Yeah, you're looking for anything from like, you know, 10 to 14 degrees of launch, and probably like, you know, 2200 to 2600 to 2800, depending on the club head speed. You know, if the higher club head speeds, they're going to have lower spin, just because speed creates you know, lower spin, center contact, and everything like that too. But yeah, if the ball is spinning over 3000, it's, you know, those are the balls that kind of fly up in the air, and you know, most people think they have the ball teed up too high because they're hitting it so high, but. And really, they're kind of hitting down on the ball, which, you know, produces a boatload of spin. And then you see that ball balloon up, and especially into the wind, right? That ball doesn't go anywhere if you have that kind of ball flight. You know, a lot of it's technique, but, I mean, you definitely have to control spin as best you can.
And do you put higher speed players at a lower launch angle or a higher launch angle? Or is it, does it not matter?
No, I think that the launch angle is kind of stays consistent. It's controlling the spin, you know. But higher speed guys usually don't have trouble launching the ball, you know.
Because they put more spin on it because they hit it harder, right?
So yeah, that's right.
Typically with high speed players, you're trying to take spin off, if I'm correct. And low speed players, you want to add spin and add launch, right?
Yeah, a little bit, right? I mean, but there's a certain point where it's like there's too much. But it's definitely based on club head speed. You know, you see these guys on tour now, you know, they're you know, hovering anywhere from probably like 1,800 to 2,200 in spin, you know, especially those guys that are generating 190-mile-an-hour ball speed like that. You know, that Potgieter, I mean, the guy, he's putting a lot of speed into the ball now. And a lot of the guys are doing that now, so... They're very conscious of that, you know, adjusting loft, you know, loft on the driver is going to add spin, you know. So if you're some guys, I think like John Rahm and at the time and Dustin Johnson, I think they both played 10.5-3 drivers because, you know, they kind of, they have that bowed left wrist at the bottom and they're kind of de-lofting it and they're actually trying to add some spin. You know, a lot of the guys are with the driver, especially, and trying to play that little cut off the tee. I don't know if you've seen that. If you watch the Tracer on TV all the time, most of these guys are playing a little cut off the tee.
It's a little more controllable at high speeds.
It puts a little more spin on the ball too, right? You're cutting across the ball, it's gonna spin a little bit more. So that's how these guys are manipulating what they're doing with the club to get the spin that they want.
I always tell the story. I use an 8.5-degree driver, and my shaft isn't very stiff. I don't create as much speed. Tim Freeze was using a 12. We had the exact same speed, and he used a driver with 4 degrees more loft, but got the same because he had such forward press with his hands at impact. So a lot of players, they go for stiff, and they grab a 9-degree driver. And a lot of times... Yeah, that's not going to fit them because they may need more loft or they may need a softer shaft. Explain the differences between a stiff and a regular shaft for people. What it does to the golf ball.
Yeah, I mean, the difference is how it's going to unload through the hitting area, you know. And, you know, some people that have higher club head speeds, I mean, they really, they torque the shaft hard at the top, you know. So, That club head, when the ball's coming in, when the club's coming into the ball, the club head actually passes your hands. You know, if the shaft is too soft, it'll snap pass too hard, and that's hard to control. You know, so it's important to see how somebody's loading the shaft at the top too. You know, I mean, some slower swing speeds need that stiffer shaft just because they're so hard and violent from the top.
It's so, how you load the shaft, not what speed you create.
Yeah, right. It is. It's a lot of how you load the shaft. I mean, some of these, if you watch the long drive championships, you ever see those long drive guys? I mean, they're generating 150-mile club head speed. I was watching the other day, and some of these guys are using shafts that would probably measure out as a senior or even less than a senior flex shaft, but they have to time it. You know, that there's, they found they used to use the extra stiff shafts, but now with these softer flex shafts, they generate more speed through the bottom, but it's very difficult to control that for them. And that's why you know, it's a 50-yard wide grid, and they just try to get one ball and play there.
Yeah, and Pat, before we let you go, talk to us a little bit about Woods to Wedges. People want to go get fitted. They want lessons. Tell us what Woods to Wedges offers. I know renovations taking place over the last, got to be a couple of years now, maybe a little bit less. But, yeah, tell us what's going on at Woods to Wedges.
Yeah, we added two more bays, and so we have four people there now. We hired two more people, and so there's plenty of opportunity to get in there, especially as the season starts winding down and start getting into the off season for everybody. This is the best time to make any kind of change to your game. If you want to, you want to make some improvements in your swing, you do this in the off season through the winter months so that you're ready to go by next year. We find that the most difficult thing for people to change is during the season, you know, because you go out there, you're trying to implement some new moves that your instructor's giving you, and sometimes it doesn't happen right away. It takes time to get these new moves ingrained in there. And we find that, a program over the winter is especially important. You know, this is some people, you know, they put the clubs away at Labor Day and they think, you know, we'll just pick it up again in the spring. But those 6 months that we're not golfing are critical to improving your game if you want to.
Yeah, well, Pat, thanks for coming on with us today. It's always good to hear a PGA professional has a week off in the middle of the summer. Yeah, that's a little different for our lifestyle. Well, thanks a lot, Pat. We'll look forward to catching up with you soon. I'll be in to chat you up one of these days shortly because we're right around the corner. And enjoy your time off.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Pat. All right.
And we're gonna head to a break here in a little bit. And when we come back, we're gonna do the PGA Tour report and have a little more discussion about golf because that's what we love to do here. I will do Tee to Green.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA, Woods to Wedges, Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, Golf Dojo, and by our home club, Pendleton Creek Golf Club and Lancaster Country Club. Stay tuned. More Tee to Green coming up.
Looking for a unique spot for your next meal? The Pendleton Creek Pub in North Tonawanda is an inviting, relaxed bar and pub. It's the perfect spot for you, your friends, and your family. The Pendleton Creek Pub is open to the public. It has the best pub cuisine, plus weekly dinner specials, live music, and weekend breakfast that'll have you craving more. Have a celebration you're ready to plan? The Pendleton Creek Pub, patio, and cabin offer one-of-a-kind settings that make it unlike any other place in Western New York. Weddings, showers, birthdays, anniversaries, or work parties, Pendleton Creek can host them all. If you're ready to book your golf tournament, Pendleton Creek should be your first call. Don't wait, as they have just a few prime summer weeks left. Current golf membership is full for 2025, but if you're interested in joining them in the future, give them a call to be placed on their waiting list. Pendleton Creek Golf Club and Pub. Come in and check it out in person at 4385 Tonawanda Creek Road or visit them online at pendletoncreek.com.
How many times do you see this question on social media? Does anyone know a good plumber? Yes, I do. It's PCS. PCS Plumbing and Heating is your full-service source for plumbing, heating, air conditioning, and excavation services. You can rely on PCS to provide the best service possible, which is why they carry Trane brand HVAC equipment. It's hard to stop a Trane. Call today for a free estimate at 716-822-4302 or go to the website at pcsplumbing.com.
Are you serious about improving your golf game? Your first stop should be Woods to Wedges inside the Worley Golf Dome. Woods to Wedges and their fitting studio is Western New York's first dedicated club fitting center. The heart of Woods to Wedges fitting studio is the TrackMan Pro Launch Monitor. Based upon Doppler radar technology, TrackMan is the most sophisticated piece of golf fitting equipment ever designed and is used by over 150 PGA Tour players. And be sure to check out Woods to Wedges with their new expanded hitting studios, fitting centers, and SAB putt lab center. Their new studios can be utilized for fittings as well as lessons too. Their expanded selection will also give you the confidence to know that you'll get the very best in club selection that'll be custom fit for your game. So if you want to improve your game, get custom fit with the same technology that the pros use. Play the game with the clubs that are precisely fit to your swing. Call now and book your fitting at Woods to Wedges, 632-3021. Check out more online, woodstowedgesbuffalo.com. Woods to Wedges inside the Worley Golf Dome, custom fit for your game.
Welcome Western New York golfers from Glen Oak Golf Club to another season with our great friends from Tee to Green. Here at Glen Oak, we're excited to get you started on your newest golf goals, whether they are testing the latest club technology with our TrackMan launch monitor, tuning yourself up with instruction and coaching from our PGA golf professionals, or just having a memorable experience with your friends and family. Please come and test yourself on our challenging Robert Trent Jones Sr. signature layout, West New York's most played golf course. Go to glenoak.com to book now, and let's make some birdies and memories together.
Looking for the perfect place to call your golf home this season? Tri-County Country Club is ready to become your golf home in 2025. Located just into Chautauqua County, Tri-County Country Club is just a 40-minute drive from Buffalo and has membership options and affordable rates that will fit your needs. No initiation, no wait list, pristine golf conditions on a course known for its rolling fairways, undulating greens, and beautiful natural scenery. Check out their membership information at tricountycountryclub.com. Also, there's more reason than ever to join today, as a brand new clubhouse is almost complete and will be a great place for your post-round meal and fun. So head to TriCountyCountryClub.com or contact GM and PGA Pro Dan Redding and see why Tri-County Country Club is ready for you to be a new member today.
Are you interested in really improving your game, or do you finally want to learn to play the great game of golf? The best way to achieve these goals is with quality, personalized, professional, private instruction. From PGA Class A certified professional with over 25 years of experience coaching players of all skill levels. Enjoy the private bays and TrackMan experience at the Golf Dojo and make your game better with a lesson. Contact PGA Director of Golf Jeff Midas at jeff@mygolfdojo.com. Play better, have more fun.
Time for a check of the PGA Tour Leaderboard, brought to you by Callaway Chrome Soft. This ball is different. And by the First Tee of Western New York. Visit firsttwesternny.org.
All right, we are back, and PGA Tour Leaderboard brought to you by Callaway Chrome Soft and the First Tee of Western New York. We got the 3M Open taking place in Blaine, Minnesota this week. Our Kevin Sylvester should be on the air right now.
Yeah, that's why he's not with us. Yeah,
that's
he's on
he's
the air.
Not with us today.
PGA Tour Radio.
He's not ditching us.
Nope.
Leading the tournament right now, Thorbjørn Olesen at minus 14, Jake Knapp in second place, minus 13, Pearson Cootie and Sam Stevens tied for minus 12 in third.
And your Champions Tour report is brought to you by Donald Ross Sportswear, your hometown premium golf apparel company. Find us in your local pro shop or online at donaldross.com. And this week, it's a fun event. It's the Senior Open on the British side, and it's at the Sunningdale Old Course, and of course I love saying his name. First place is Padraig Harrington at 8 under, followed by KJ Choi, Thomas Bjorn, and at 6 under is Ricardo Gonzalez and our friend Justin Leonard.
All right, LPGA report brought to you by Puma Golf Shoes. We are at the ISPS Handa Women's Scottish Open in Dundonald Links in Troon. And a name that I think is going to become familiar at the top of LPGA leaderboards, Lottie Woad. Leads at minus 12, very strong talent. Amateur had won the
U.S. Women's, National Women's Amateur at Augusta.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Second place at minus 10, Nana Kjortz Madsen tied with Nelly Korda.
I love Nelly.
One of our favorites, Nelly Korda, minus 10, two shots back.
She's a swing I use as a model constantly because she has one of the most perfect swings in golf.
She's got some videos with Tiger Woods that are fun to watch as well.
Does she?
Those two kind of talking about different shots and how to hit different shots.
She hits it. Yeah, we were talking about that during the break too, Tom. How to create a little different feel sometimes on the golf course. We talk about numbers, but it's a game of feel too, isn't it?
So this conversation today has been great about all of the numbers and the opportunities that you have in places like Golf Dojo to really get into the analytics of golf. But sometimes it really is about feel. Brian Koziel, who the great host of this show, we talked about this last week when we were out on the course. Sometimes it is just as he literally just changed a tee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He said, I'm just feeling a little different. Obviously, tee's not going to affect anything except something in your mind. We can get deep into it, but it really isn't, right? Next three holes he plays in one under par, right? Yeah. And so sometimes it's just a change of a lens or a framework, and the mental part of golf is very real too.
You know, I know I like to tee my ball down when I'm trying to hit a fade, and I like to tee it a little higher when I'm trying to whip a draw out there. I'm a lot better at
Absolutely.
The fade, but the draws, you try to hit up on it and give it a little flatter spin to make it turn over a little bit easier.
One of my favorite shots, players that know it play in this area. Very windy in Buffalo, right? One of the shots I love to play, just play it a little bit further back in my stance, choke down a little bit, hit a little nice draw.
Right.
You know, get some roll, especially now with how dry it is, get a decent amount of roll out there and into the wind.
Plus, what you're doing is you're taking a flatter face club, you're moving it back, de-lofting it, and you're hitting it less hard. All those things take spin off the golf ball and keep it tighter in the wind.
That's a common misnomer. You know, into the wind, you would think, I got to hit it harder. It's the exact opposite, actually. Maybe hit it three quarters, choke down a little bit, keep it low underneath the wind.
And you see it with wedges, too. People hit too many high wedges. They hit the ball. I watch too many amateur players throw the ball as high as they can with their wedges, and you go to a tour event, and people are trapping and covering and flighting them in their lower and controlling the
spin.
That
is a great tip. That's another tip of the week.
We got a lot of tips of the week this week.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you hang out with a golf pro.
Yeah.
It's nice to be able to hang out with a golf pro.
Sure is.
Well, one more time, Tom, before we leave, if you could refresh people's memory about Golf Dojo and what it offers to West New York golfers.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys, for being here. We're excited on September 1st here at 1812 Tavern at 5381 Abbott Road here in Hamburg. Golf Dojo Bay will open to the public and to our members. Golf Dojo, of course, we have our two locations on Transit Road and in Amherst and in the town of Tonawanda on Niagara Falls Boulevard across from the Boulevard Mall. And stay tuned because in the last show of the Tee to Green year, we have another big announcement for Golf Dojo coming. And we're really excited about that.
Well, we're very excited about it. And got one more thing.
One more thing. I do want to wish Anthony Del Sante good luck in the third round of the Corn Ferry. I know we mentioned it earlier, but local talent out of Sanborn here. So good luck, Anthony.
Well, thank you to everybody. My name is... before I do the thank yous and goodbye, Evan, can you jump on for a second with us real quick? Are you there?
I'm here, guys.
Hey, first of all, I wanted to congratulate Evan. You got engaged this week, didn't you, Evan?
Yes, but thank you, guys.
That's it?
Thank you. I don't have my headphones in, so I can't really feel the joy right now. So, I'm just, it was definitely a stressful couple days for me and glad, you know, she obviously said yes. And I was glad that everything went smoothly. And, I'm sure she's probably, I don't know if she's listening. I love you and I can't wait to spend the rest of my life with you, baby.
Of course she's listening. How sweet was that?
Who isn't listening to Tee to Green this morning?
Exactly.
Well, congratulations. Well, my name's Jeff Midas, the PGA Professional. I'd like to thank Jeff Blank for joining us, for Kevin Sylvester, Brian Koziel, Tom Coppola, Max Grundy, and Pat Phillips, all who have joined us today. Thank you very much for a great show. We look forward to seeing you guys next week from Pendleton Creek Country Club.
Fantastic.
You've been listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA, Woods to Wedges, Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, Golf Dojo, and by our home clubs, Pendleton Creek Golf Club and Lancaster Country Club. Be sure to tune in next week at 7 a.m. for the best local golf talk. And follow the Tee to Green team on social media at T2G Buffalo.
Have you ever wanted to join a country club? Playing golf on a meticulously groomed course is an experience that you won't be able to compare. Plus, it's more than top-notch golf. It's also casual and fine dining, swimming, and socializing. It's been called Western New York's best-kept secret. It's Lockport Town and Country Club. And right now, you can come and enjoy one of the best 18-hole golf experiences, all while embracing one of the most unique layouts in all of Western New York. There are so many ways to enjoy being a member with their incredible indoor-outdoor patio and their addition of their new simulators. For more information or a tour, call Roland at 716-433-5969, extension 103. One round at Lockport Town and Country Club will make you a fan for life. Lockport Town and Country Club, 717 East Avenue in Lockport.
Pita Gourmet, Western New York's premier fast casual Mediterranean dining experience. Lunch or dinner, dine-in, takeout, delivery, and catering with six convenient locations. Signature pita wraps and pita pockets opens with a rice or salad vase. Something for every age, including our kids box. The originator of the Greek fries. We pride ourselves in our unique menu offerings. All our items completely customizable and made with the highest quality products. Stop in and see for yourself. You'll be in and out in minutes.
The Miller Tennis Center in Williamsville is the premier year-round tennis club in the Buffalo area. Regardless of your age or skill level, the Miller Tennis Center has a program for you. Under local ownership, Todd and Debbie Miller have been passionate about providing an enjoyable tennis experience, all while partaking in the benefits of playing and practicing at an outstanding facility. The Miller Tennis Center's professional staff is the best in the area, winning many national and international awards for their service and certifications. For more information on their programs, junior tennis, or membership details, stop into the Miller Tennis Center at 5959 Sheridan Drive in Williamsville or visit their website, millertenniscenter.com.
Not all video is created equal. Sure, your phone can shoot video, but does it capture your brand story with the quality and impact it deserves? For 20 years, David Collins Productions has helped hundreds of Western New York companies stand out with high-caliber video content that drives results. From manufacturing to medical, retail to real estate, we know what works. It's time to take your video marketing up a notch. Let's make something powerful together. David Collins Productions. Video that means business. Visit us at davidcollinsproductions.com.
They say consistency is the key to success. They weren't wrong. So how about grabbing a beer that's consistently smooth, consistently refreshing, and consistently light? You might just find that the road to success can be pretty enjoyable. Michelob Ultra, the perfect balance of taste and refreshment, and only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.